We're holding on to Zion Omud Bey's seven lines from the bottom. We've been discussing the question of what happens if a get was brought by two shluchim, and both of them don't say b'fanei nichtav b'fanei nechtam. We had various cases where one of them says b'fanei nichtav, and two of them say b'fanei nechtam, or the other way around. And we were discussing the ins and outs of when it's kosher and when it's possible. So now, continuing in that vein, the Gemara says, Rabbi Baba Chana Cholash, Rabbi Baba Chana one time wasn't feeling well. Ulegabe, Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabba l'shayuli be, so Rabbi Yehuda and Rabba went to be Mavaka Chola. And while they were there, Bo Mine, they asked them the following question. Shnaim Sheviu get Medina Sayam, if two people, two shluchim together, bring a get from Medina Sayam, do they both need to say, or do they need to say or not? Again, on the one hand, you have the takana that they should do it for the reasons that we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, because they may not be familiar with Lashma in Medina Sayam, and therefore once they say that, then we'll ask them, Basedin will ask them further and make sure that it was written Lashma, or because Ein Eidim Mitzui in the Kaimei, because it won't be easy to find people to validate the signatures on the Shtar, or you could say that the two of them together are considered Eidim and you don't need anything further. Omalahem, so Rabbi Baba Chana answers them, Ein Srichin, they don't need to say B'faneinu Nechtam, B'faneinu Nechtam, because Ilu Yomru b'faneinu girsha. After all, if these two themselves, ma ilu yomru b'faneinu girsha, what would happen after all if the two of them just said that he divorced her in our presence? In other words, even if there was no physical get with them, miloy mehemni, wouldn't we believe them? Two edim. So even if they didn't have the physical get with them, that would be enough edus to be able to say that Pliny had divorced Plinus. So the same way over here, when they bring the get, even if they don't actually say b'faneinu nichtam, b'faneinu nechtam, then it's good enough. So we said before, the previous piece of Gemara, we said the question was whether in fact the machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah that you had the case where you had different cases over there. One where Rabbi Yehuda, one we had the case where one says b'fanei nechtav and the other says b'fanei nechtam, and the other one where two say b'fanei and the other one where one says b'fanei nechtav and two say b'fanei nechtam. So we said Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on both of them. So now we see from this story over here that in fact the machloikas is when the get is being brought by both of them, where you have the opinion and Rabbi Baba Chana is saying that they just need to they don't even need to say anything at all, and therefore even if they only say part of the formula, then it's also fine, because even if they hadn't said any of the formula at all, it would also be fine. So now the Gemara continues with a little bit more of the story. Adahochi, and then we'll talk soon why this part is relevant, or b'chlal, why is it relevant to mention that Rabbi Baba Chana was sick when they came to visit him to discuss this. So we'll do the story first, and then we'll discuss that. So Adahochi, as they were talking, a certain chavra came. Now a chavra, Rashi translates as a Persian, as we'll talk about soon. We're not necessarily talking about Stam, a Goya Persian. We're talking about particularly a Persian Galach, part of the ruling class over there, and one of their Galachim. Shakel the Shragam Mikamayu, and he took away the lamp from in front of them. The Persian religion of those days, one of their basic ideas was they worshipped fire. Their basic idea we find from various places in Shas, Lavdor, we have in various other sources as well. They believed in a concept of a god of good and a god of evil. If you find it mentioned here and there in Shas, this concept and how the Chacham refuted it. Anyway, so one of their ideas was that that the fire represents good, and therefore on days of their Chagas, they had a law that you can have fire burning only in their temples. Anywhere else, fires have to be put out. So now this happened to be one of their Goyisha holidays, one of their Persian holidays. So therefore he walked in and put out the lamp that they were sitting and then talking by the light of it. Omar, so Rabbi Baba Chana says, Rachmana, Hashem, oy betulach, either we should be under your shadow, oy betulah debar Esav, or under the shadow of the children of Esav. In other words, the son of Esav, of Edom. In other words, either put us under your protection, take us out of Golos, or if it's not time for that yet, then put us under Golos, under the control of Bnei Esav, rather than these Persians, where the Bnei Esav, the Romans, at least show us more respect. Well, the question is, what do you mean? They show us more respect. You're telling me the Romans are better than the Persians? Didn't Rabchia teach a b'raisa? The pasuk says Hashem understood its way, and he knows its place. So the context is the pasuk is actually talking about that whole perek. It comes from a perek in Eov talking about chokhmah. And then Chochmah, of course, means specifically Chochmah of Torah. So it describes all of the advantages of it and how Hashem made it, on the other hand, very difficult to achieve if you don't put effort into it. And then you have this pasuk, Hashem understood its way and he knows its place, which means as far as the Chochmah of Torah, Yodea, and as far as the Jewish people who are the bearers of it, Yodea, Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, She'en Yecholim Lekabel Gzeiras Roimiyim. Hashem knows about the Jewish people that they wouldn't be able to handle the Gzeiras of the Romans. Omed Behegla Oisom LeBavel, and therefore by the first Churban, therefore instead he sent them to Bavel. In other words, we would say with our Balabatish brains, we would say, well, you know why Golos, but you know why the Golos was to Bavel? Because that was the superpower at the time. They were the ones who took the Jews into Golos, so naturally they went there. But the Gemara, of course, always looking for the underlying reasons of things, says, Hashem could have just as well made that the Romans would be powerful at the time of the first Churban, and that they could have been the ones to do the Churban and bring the Jews to their country. So why didn't that happen? Because Hashem knows how harsh the Xeris are to us. So therefore, we see that the Romans are a lot worse than the people above them. And the answer is like Tasha, there's no contradiction. It depends before or after the Chavri came to Bavel. So now Rashi explains again that Chavri, Rashi says, means generically the Persians. So he explains that. We're talking about at first, when the Jews were sent to Bavel in the times of Nebuchadnezzar and his descendants, Evel Meroidach and Belshazzar, the next kings of Bavel, as bad as they were, especially Nebuchadnezzar, at least they showed a certain respect for the Jews. They didn't treat them like criminals or slaves or whatever. They settled comfortably in Bavel. On the other hand, Rashi says, from when the Persians took over in Bavel, which is when Kodesh conquered Bavel 52 years after the Churban, then at that point things started going downhill. And that's so Rabbi Baba Chana is living hundreds of years after that, but he's saying that even so, from then on, it might have actually been better to live under the Romans because the Persians are doing these intolerable kinds of things. Tosfos has a whole different explanation. Tosfos says, first of all, the Chavrim are not necessarily Stam Persians. You actually have a Gemara, Tosfos refers to a Gemara in Kiddushin that contrasts them. And also you have a Gemara that we've learned in Yevamos that says that it was in Rabbi Yochanan's times that they came to Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan lived hundreds of years after Kodesh conquered Bavel. So rather, Tosfos explains that the Chavrim are specifically one particular group that came in Rabbi Yochanan's times. They came to have a powerful influence on the Persians. So historically, what you have is that when you have the Persian Empire that conquered Bavel. After that event, you had various other dynasties or whatever. All of them had this religion with the two gods and the fire worship and all that, but they weren't particularly fanatical about it. Then what you had is, and Rabbi Yochanan said, now this is not Tosfos explaining this, you find in other sources and Jewish history books talk about it, that in particular Doros HaRishonim, that in Rabbi Yochanan's time, so around the time of the beginning of the Amiroyim and around the time when this story is taking place, you had a different group of a different group of Persians who they eventually overthrew the previous government, and they established they came to rule over Eretz Yisrael, not Eretz Yisrael, they came to rule over Babel and Persia themselves, and they were a lot more fanatical about their religion. So therefore, if up until then, yes, the official rule was no fire on their chagas in people's houses, but now they started actually enforcing it more severely. So now that was why the Gemara tells us in Yevamos that when Rabbi Yochanan, living in Eretz Yisrael, heard that the Chavri have taken over in Babel, then he was very shocked by it, because now what's going to happen to the Yidden? Until the Gemara says, then they told him that they can be corrupted, they'll accept bribes, and then he calmed down. You know, being handling going with bribes is something common in Jewish history. So here you have the same kind of thing. Tosfos says that. You have up until this time, yes, of course, the Persians had been ruling over Babel for hundreds of years, but now you had this new group of Persians, which the Gemara is calling over here and in other places Chavri, and they were causing a lot more trouble than the ones before, because they were starting to enforce the laws of their religion, including no fires in people's houses, much more severely. So that's what brings Rabbi Baba Chana to say that under those circumstances, we'd be better off under the Romans. So, at that time, also in the Roman Empire, they had, it's true, of course, you know, we don't know, nobody has to, no, we don't have to go through, of course, all the Xeris that the Romans have done to the Jews. But by the time we're talking about the beginning of the time of the Amudoyim, things had mostly calmed down in that regard. First of all, the Romans weren't that quick to start up with the Jews again. They'd had a hard time of it during Bar Kokhba's revolt, for example, and they still remembered that. And besides which, at this time, historically, you find that they were busy with a whole bunch of their emperors were getting assassinated and all kinds of other things like that, one after the other. So they didn't have much time to harm the Jews. So that would be the kind of time when Rabbi Baba Chana is saying we'd be better off under their control than under the control of the Persians. Anyway, why does the Gemara need to tell us that Rabbi Baba Chana was sick and that they came to visit him? So Ben Yehoyada points out, first of all, it tells us how devoted they were to learning Torah, that even they're coming to do Bikur Cholim, still they're going to be discussing Torah, they're going to be discussing the question that we started with about two people who bring a get from Medina Sayyam, what's the halacha in it? Ben Yehoyada also adds another point, which is that they dafka wanted to discuss something, or Hashem made that they should discuss something that would, where Rabbi Baba Chana would answer with something similar to a Kavah Chomer. In effect, when he says, what if the two of them together were to say that he divorced her in our presence, even though they don't have a get, then we would believe them. So the same way over here, we believe them, even though they don't say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. That is a kind of Kavah Chomer. And we find that Kavah Chomer has to do with refuah. We find that when Miriam was sick, when Miriam had saras, the end of next week's parasha. So Hashem answers, and Moshe davens for her, Kel no refa no la. So Hashem answers him the Kavachomer. If she insulted her human father, she'd have to be in quarantine for 7 days. How much more so when she insulted Hashem? And there's an idea that's brought. There's an idea that's brought in Sfarim that a kavachomer. Therefore, Hashem Dafka used a kavachomer over there because it has to do with it before. So therefore, over here also, there was a discussion that involved a kavachomer in order that it should be a healing thing for Rabbi Baba Chana. Then in the Ksav. The Ksav Sofer makes another interesting point. He says, after all, again, what's the reason that we've been saying all along throughout the Masechta that the reasons behind the Takana are b'fanei nechtam, we had Rabba's reason and Rava's reason. Rabba's reason was because in Medina Sayyam, in countries outside Eretz Yisrael, they may not be familiar with the concept that a get has to be written l'shma, and when the shliach or shluchim come and say b'fanei nechtam, then we'll interrogate them about that and make sure that it was written l'shma. So now the Gemara had discussed earlier in the Masechta on Daf Gimel or Dal or so that, and when we just had it yesterday as well, that la'acha shalomdu, eventually there came a point when in Medina Sayyam they learned this concept, and then there's less of a concern about it, but there's always Shema Yachsu Adol Kokoloi. There's still the concern. Rabba says that it might go back to the old messed up way, they may forget again. So now the Ksav Sofer says that's why you have the part. Why does the Gemara bring the part over here about the Chavra taking away the lamp and all in order to hint to Rabbi Baba Chana that yes, sometimes you may think that you have a place where they're learning Torah very thoroughly, and of course they know all these dinim, but realize even in a place like that, you can still have persecution by the Goyim, as now you're experiencing in Babel, and therefore they may forget again. So therefore, don't think that we don't think the whole concept of b'fanenichtam goes away. No, it might still have to exist. This is a bottom of Tesainim, well, now top of Yudzainim and Aleph. So fine. In any case, though, so we've said, so we had various opinions about what happens if two people bring a get, whether they still need to say b'faneinu nichtam, b'faneinu nichtam. We said one way of understanding it is that they don't, and the story of Rabbi Baba Chana bears out that in fact they don't, and that's in fact the halacha. So now continuing on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Echad Omer B'fanin Nechtam V'Shnayim Omer B'fanenu Nechtam Kosher. We said in the Mishnah that if one of them says B'fanin Nechtam, and so only he says it was written in my presence, but not signed, and then two say that it was signed in our presence, then Kosher. So Omer Ami, Omer Rab Yechanan, Loi Shonu El Shag Get Yotz Metachas Yad Eid Ksiva. Now that would apply only if the get is being held by the one who said b'fanin nichtav, because then in effect what you have is denasu kishnayim alze the kishnayim alze, because then in effect what you have is you have the equivalent of two edim saying giving edus on the writing of it and two on the signatures. Namely, the whole point is we're saying when one shliach says b'fanin nichtav, then he, even though he's only one shliach, the chachamim give him the power as if he had two, as if he were two aided. And we say, therefore, that we accept that, therefore, we can ask him whether it was written l'shma, and he'll tell us yes, and he can validate the signatures. And even though normally validation of signatures on a shtar needs two edim, but here you have only one, and that was Rava's point about why you need to say b'fanin nichtav and b'fanin nechtam, because if you only said b'fanin nechtam, then it would seem like regular kiyum shtaris, and people are going to think that kiyum shtaris can be done by only one aid. Anyway. The point is, so now when you have, if the one shliach says b'fanin nichtav, then he functions as the equivalent of two edim that the writing was done l'shma, and then you have two edim saying that the signatures are valid, so therefore you have two edim on the signatures, so therefore you're all good. Aval mitachas yidei edei chasima, but if the get is being brought by the edei chasima, and the one who says b'fanin nichtav is not the actual shliach, just somebody else who came along, possible, then Rabbi Ami is telling us the get will be possible, because then you only have one aid on the writing, and he, not being a shliach, he doesn't have that nemonos. There's a special nemonos that the chacham gave a shliach to say b'fanu nechtam, but here where he's not the shliach, then that wouldn't work. And Rashi explains that means even if you have both of them, but even if both, So in that case he's saying, it's going to be possible that if it's coming from the Eid Chasim, Alma. So that means evidently Rabbi Yochanan holds Kasav, Alma Kasava, Shnayim Sheviu Get Mivdinas Yam. So it sounds like what Rabbi Yochanan, because after Rabbi Ami is saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, sounds like he holds Shnayim Sheviu Get Mivdinas Yam, that even if it is two people bringing from Mivdinas Yam, Tzrichen Shiyem B'Faneinu Nechtam B'Faneinu Nechtam, they still have to be able to say the formula of B'Faneinu Nechtam B'Faneinu Nechtam. We wouldn't use Rabbi Baba Chana's Svara from before to say that after all, we would believe them if they said that B'Faneinu Girsha without even having a physical get, and without them even bringing a physical get. Therefore, how much more so we should believe them without saying that if they bring the physical get. It seems Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold that way. So according to that, then, you know, again, it would factor in that maybe Rabbi Yochanan would be one of the ones who holds like Rabba, that the reason for the takana is because we don't know whether they did it l'shma, and therefore it doesn't matter whether they're able to testify that he divorced her or not. The fact is we have a get over here and we need to know whether it was written l'shma. But Omele Rab Asi, but Rab Asi asked Rab Ami, Elamayata, by that logic, Reisha de Katoni, what about earlier in the Mishnah, where it says, Shnaim Omer Fanen Nechta Ve'echad Omer Fanen Nechta Posel V'Rab Yehuda Machshir, where two of them say that it was written in our presence, and only one of them says it was signed in our presence, and the Mishnah says, the Chachamim say it's Posel, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's Kosher, V'afilu Get Yotz Metachas Yidei Shnehem. Now, do you mean that case also, as we discussed on the previous Amud, would be even if both of them are bringing the get, even if two of these three are the shluchim to bring the get, and you're still going to say the chachamim pasul it, Well, according to what you're saying, the fact that you have two bringing it doesn't help. You still need to say b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtam. So even if, and you're saying that even if two of them bring it, then you need to. So is that the case? Amalei ein. So Rav Ami says yes. As a matter of fact, the Chachamim would say it's possible even in that case. Only in the case that we said at the top of the sugya, where one says b'fanei nechtav and two say b'fanei nechtam, then it would be fine, because fine, there you have in effect two edim on the ksiva and two on the chasima. But if you have the other way around, two say b'fanei nechtav and one says b'fanei nechtam, then it's no good, because you only have one aid on the signature.
I don't understand the logic. If it is signed by two.
No, the get is signed by two. That's not the question. Of course, you have two signatures over there. We're talking about who's testifying that these signatures are valid. That literally written lishma or partial, that they're valid signatures and weren't forged. Yeah.
We assume that it was Ksiva Lishma, we assume that Ksiva was also.
We shouldn't necessarily assume that. It doesn't necessarily have to be.
And vice versa also.
So it's one thing. If you have one who says that Mufani Nichtav and he's the Shliach, so then the Chachamim give him the Nemonos of two, and then two say Mufanei Nechtav, and for that, the signatures don't have to be done Lishma, but the signatures have to be valid. So you need two to validate that these, in fact, are these Adam signatures. So therefore, that works, but not the other way around. So wait, Zimnin Ashkechei B'Yosef B'Ka'amar. Then another time, Rav Asi found Rav Ami was sitting and saying the din in a different way. So another time, Rav Ami was saying, Afilu get Yotz Mitachas Yedei Edei Achsima, even if the get is being brought by the Eide Chasima. So even in the case where you have the two who say b'fanenu nechtam or the shluchim and you have one who says that it was written, that it was written b'fanai, and the two of them who are bringing that say b'fanenu nechtam kosher, then he says it would be kosher. So not like before where he said that in that case it would be possible because you don't have two edim on the ksiva. Now he's saying kosher. Alma Kasavar. So now we see that Rab Ami now holds, and that he holds that Rab Yechanan holds Shnayim Sheviu Get Medinas Hayam, that if two Edom bring the get from Medinas Hayam, Ein Srichin Shiyamu B'Faneinu Nechtam B'Faneinu Nechtam, they B'Chlal don't have to say the formula at all, because again we have Rabbi Baba Chana's logic from before that if they were to say B'Faneinu Girsha, it would work. So therefore, here we don't care about the fact that the one who's saying B'Faneinu Nechtam is not the actual Shliach. So Omalei Rav Asi. So now Rav Asi asks him. So he doesn't ask him about the contradiction. First, he's going to ask him whether that fits with what the Mishnah says. Ela Me'ata. He says then by your logic, Reisha, that in the earlier part of the Mishnah, the Ketani Shnayim Emu Faneinu Nechtav VeEchad Emu Faneinu Nechtam Posel, but Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, we were saying if two say it was written in my presence and one says it was signed in my presence, then it would be possible because you don't have two edim on the signatures. But Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, but Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. You would have to be saying Taima, the reason why the Chachamim would say it's possible, De'ena get Yotz Mitachas Yedei Shneihem, because the get is not being brought by both of them, only one of them is the Shliach, and only the Shliach did the Chachamim give the Nemonus, and he didn't say both B'Fani Nichtav and B'Fani Nechtam. Implying, Ha get Yotz Mitachas Yedei Shneihem, implying if it was being brought by both of them, Machshir Rabbanan, then the Chachamim would say it's kosher. So Rav Ami says, yes, in that case, the Chachamim will say it's kosher, which is the exact opposite of what Rav Ami had said before. Before Rav Ami had said that the Chachamim would say that even if get Yotz Mitachas Yedei Shneihem, the Chachamim would still say that if only one says B'Fani Nechtam, then it's no good. Now he's saying that if both of them are bringing it, then the Chachamim would agree it's fine. So Rav Asi asks him, Vazimnin like Amrithon Haki, what about a different time you didn't tell us like that? You said the other way around. Omalei, so Rav Ami answers him, Yosid he shaloi timot. This is a firmly fixed peg or nail that should not move. In other words, he's saying this that I'm saying now. This is the absolutely correct thing. Don't think anything else. In other words, in effect, what I said before was a mistake. Either I misunderstood Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind, or whatever the case. But this last one, this is how it is. This is what you should stick to. And that, in fact, is the halacha. When you have two shluchim bringing the get, then they don't even need to say b'faneinu nechtam, b'faneinu nechtam at all. And therefore, if only one of them is saying one and the other is saying the other, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't passel anything. only when you have only one of them is bringing the get, then you have the issue that he needs to hit b'fanei nichtav or b'fanei nechtam, and you have a, and otherwise you have a problem, with the exception again that if you have that if one says b'fanei nichtav, that just the shliach says b'fanei nichtav, and then two others come and say b'faneinu nechtam, then that would also be good, because then you have the kiyum shtaris part has been accomplished by two aidim like it needs to be done, and the ksiva part has been validated by one aid, and the chachamim given the power of two to be able to say that it was written l'shma, to be able to say that it was written l'shma. So does that better answer your question?
Before I didn't see a logic.
Now you see the logic. Good. Okay. All right. Mishnah says, Nichtav b'yom ben. So now, for now, at least we're done with the matter of having to validate the signatures and then funny nichtav b'funny nechtam and all of that. We're going to talk about it sporadically here and there in the Masechta, and of course later on in the next parak we're going to get into all the dinim of lishma. But right now we're going to deal with other dinim of the writing of the get, the writing and the signing of the get. So the Mishnah says, Nichta v'yoyim v'nechta mayoyim, if the get was written by day, on a certain day, and it was signed on that same day, then the Mishnah is going to say that it's kosher. Now, there doesn't seem to be much chiddush in that, of course. How else would you write a get? The Ritva explains that what it means is that you shouldn't think that we have to actually write the time of day on the get. The Gemara is going to give us two reasons why you need a date on a get. So given those reasons, you would think maybe it would be important to write not only the date, but also the time on the get. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us you don't need to. Bechlal, we find throughout Shas, they didn't generally write. The only place where they generally wrote the time on any kind of shtar was in Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, they would write shois, in other places not. But Pashtus, the reason is because in Yerushalayim, they had the ability to know better what time it is, because they could follow the schedule of the Korbanos and the Beis Hamikdash. But be that as it may, or maybe it was just for the Cheshivos of Yerushalayim as the capital city, then therefore they added that extra little detail to their shtaris. But in other places, they didn't do that. Anyway, so nichta bayim and nichta bayim. So if the get was written by day and signed on the same day, then by Laila or it was written by night and signed that same night, or Balayla v'nechtem ayom, or it was written by night and signed during the following daytime. And of course, we know hayom ha'olachachar alayla, so therefore, for example, if the get is written Monday night and then signed Tuesday morning, that's fine, because Monday night and Tuesday morning both belong to Yom Shlishi. So therefore, the date on the get in all those cases is accurate, so therefore kosher, so therefore in all those cases, the get is kosher. But but if it's written by day and then signed the following night, now you have a problem, because now it's a get muktam. Now the date on it is earlier than it should be, and we're going to discuss in the Gemara what the problem is with a predated get. People are going to think that the get was actually given and took effect on that day. So therefore, puzzle, Reb Shimon machshir, but Reb Shimon says it's kosher. Shahoy Reb Shimon omer, because Reb Shimon used to say, kol agitim shenichtavu bayom, menechtem ubalayla psulin. In fact, Reb Shimon says, I agree about all other gitin, and again, the word get often means a regular shtar. So Rashi explains, shtaris of sales, or gifts, or loans, all of those, if they were written by day and only signed by night, they would be possible, because in all those cases, you have dinim mominus involved. You're going to be, for example, in the case of a sale, let's consider, we know that when you sell property, when you sell real estate, then there comes with it a shibud you sell property. So now there comes a shibud with it. There's a chrayus with it that if a creditor later on takes away the property to satisfy a debt, then you will reimburse the person. But when are you going to reimburse him as of the date of the shtar? On the face of it, he's going to say that I have the right to take away for that achrayus property that you owned as of that date. But in fact, the shtar was only finished and signed that night, which already belongs to the next day. So therefore, no good. And therefore that would be called what's called a shtar mukdam, which is possible, because then you're going to end up taking away from third parties, from lakuchas, from a time where you weren't supposed to. you know, at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah and some other places in Shas, you have Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos, whether the shtar would be completely posel or whether it would just be posel insofar as you can't collect from the Shabbadim, but you could collect from the person's own property, from Bnei Chorin. Anyway, the point is that you do have a problem with shtaris that are muktam, that are predated, and Reb Shimon will agree with that point. But he says, chutz megitin noshim, with the exception of gitin of women, he's not concerned. Here in the Gemara, we're going to explain that, first of all, Rashi explains, after all, the fundamental point of a get is not to collect money, after all. You don't give a get in order to collect money. It is, of course, true. Once the woman receives the get, then she can, she's able to collect to a ksuba. But that actually, the shibud for the ksuba existed as of when they got married. So, or maybe in some cases, as of the Averson, whatever. But the point is, long before the get was given. So therefore, Reb Shimon says the fact that the get is predated in this case doesn't cause a problem as far as dinei mamonos. It may cause a problem as far as certain factors that we're going to mention in the Gemara. One of them being dinei mamonos. But as we're going to see in the Gemara, Reb Shimon is not so concerned about that. As we'll see why. So, the Gemara says itmar. So now we have a discussion of amiroyim. Why b'chlal did the Chachamim make a takana that you have to write a date on gittin? Now it's true actually that our Mishnah doesn't really say in so many words that you need to write a date b'chlal. All it says is that if it was misdated, then it's possible. You could conceivably infer from our Mishnah that if there were no date at all, it would be fine. However, later on in the Masechta, the Gemara tells us that in fact such a get would be possible. And also that's one point that the Gemara is not really shtelling zich on the Mishnah to know that point. But rather, the Ran explains that mainly the Gemara is shtelling zich on the Mishnah at the end of the Masechta that says that the get needs a date. And then the Ritva says that no, actually, just in our Mishnah as well, if there were no takana that you need a date, then a wrong date wouldn't pass all the get. Similar to what we were saying before about the two shluchim. If you're saying that we can believe two shluchim to say that she was divorced, we don't care whether they said the formula properly. In a similar vein over here, you could say maybe that if there weren't a necessity to write a date in a get, then it wouldn't even matter if you wrote a possible one. So the fact that it does means that the date is essential. So, why did the Chachamim make a takana that you need a date on a get? Now, Tosfos points out the fact is that she's able to collect mezonos from the time they got divorced, and you could have a case where she had borrowed money before, where she had borrowed money beforehand to support herself. So now we want there to be a date on the get. So he can't falsely claim that he had divorced her already at that time, and therefore she's not entitled for him to repay the loans. Tosfos says that wouldn't be an issue because in fact she has a migui over there. She could, if she wanted, hide the gets and nobody even knows that she's divorced, and then she'll bring it out only when she wants to get married. And Tosfos goes on to discuss this point and related points about Edi Chsima and Edi Mesira in some detail. The Pnei Yehoshua actually points out that the whole discussion over here in the Gemara would seem to be based on the idea that Edi Mesira Tauti, that the essential thing is when we have Edus that the Edim who watch the get being handed over are the ones that make it take effect. Really, he says, if we were to say that Edi Chasima Kauti, the basic idea is that the Edim who sign the shtar are the ones who sign the get are the ones make it take effect, then he says, listen, of course you'd need a date on it. You need to be able to be mazin them. But then he goes on to discuss maybe not necessarily. Maybe Hazama doesn't apply to Edus in a shtar. And he goes back and forth on that. Anyway, why do you need Zman and Gittin? Rabbi Yochanan says, suppose you have a case where a man is married to his niece. Now a person that's actually the closest relative that a person is allowed to marry la'alocha. There's even a Gemara in Yevamos that says that it's a good thing for a person to do that, because that way there'll be a very close, loving relationship between them. Because a person naturally loves his relative. So like this, yeah. Anyway. What would happen now if his wife was Mizana? Now he doesn't want her. He doesn't want her to get executed by Beis Din. So therefore, if he were to write an undated get and give it to her, or predated get, then he could falsely claim that she was already divorced at the time that she was Mizana, and therefore he'd spare her from being executed. So therefore, that would be a reason why we need a date on a get. In fact, Rishonim bring from Yerushalmi that says that such a case actually taka happened. There was a man married to his niece where she was Mizana and so forth. Anyway,
What about the Adim?
I mean, they
know the date.
That's fine. They know the date when she was Mizana. They don't know that she was divorced, whether she was divorced at the time. So nevertheless, though, that's the thing. If the get is predated or undated, then he's going to say that, or she's going to say that I was divorced at that time.
Even if it will be destroyed, even if the Adim come along later.
Even if the Adim come along later, but yeah, at least for the time being, he'd save her. Tosfos mentions, by the way, that on the one hand, you could say she has a chazaka of an Eishes Ish. On the other hand, against that chazaka is, first of all, the fact that now we have a get. And second of all, the chazaka is also that she's going to be a ksheira, that at least she's not going to be Mizana when she's an Eishes Ish. So therefore, that would be enough to save her. Yeah, maybe at least temporarily, but fine. So that would be a reason. Rish Lakish Amar Mishum Peiris. Rish Lakish says a different reason is because of Peiris, namely that we know the husband is entitled to Peiris, the produce or the proceeds or whatever from the Nichsim Alug that his wife brought into the marriage. Once the get is delivered, then the husband doesn't have the ability to do that anymore. So if there's no date on the get, then he might go and sell the Peiris, and then when she goes to demand, well, you took my Peiris and sold them, he's going to say, what are you talking about? I did it while we were still married, because he's going to predate the get. So that would be a reason why you need a date on the get. In fact, Tosfos discusses, based on that logic, you should say that a post-dated get should be kosher. And Tosfos discusses why that should be. In fact, the Rambam holds, and he does mention the fact of Eidim Asira. The Rambam, in fact, does hold that a post-dated get is possible as well. The Raavad, in fact, disagrees with him on that. So there is some discussion on that point of a post-dated get. Here we're talking about a pre-dated get. Everybody would agree as possible. So again, Rish Lakish is saying the reason is, because of payers. And Rabbi Yochanan was saying because of Dinin Afoshes Shem Yechapa Al Basa Choyse. Rishonim point out, by the way, that Tosfos points out later on. So, what about in a time when there's not dini nefashis, when she's not in a position to be executed anyway? First of all, you might have that there were mamzerim produced from it, and he's going to want to pretend that they weren't mamzerim, that she was divorced already at the time. So, you don't want that. And also, of course, you have eventually the Bais Hamikdash is going to be rebuilt. Eventually, there will be dini nefashis again, And Tosfos gives another answer also further along in the sugya that you don't want him to claim that she was Mizana only when she was divorced, and then he'll remarry her, and then the fact is that doesn't answer him to her, whereas if she was Mizana during the marriage, then she becomes also to him, as we learned in Sota, Kashem Shasur al-Baal, Kachasur al-Baal. So that would be another reason why he might want to fudge things, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan says that's why you need a date on the get. So the Gemara says, Rish Lakish my time like Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Now, why doesn't Rish Lakish agree with Rabbi Yochanan's reason that Shemi Yechapa? The reason is, he says, Omalach, Znus loy shchicha. Znus is not common enough for the Chachamim to make takana, that every get has to have a date in it because of this possibility of Znus. It's not common enough for it to be a problem. Tosfos says, actually, we don't necessarily mean that it's not so common. What we mean is with Eidim Vasra. Znus without that might be a little more common, and then we find other takonis that are made to guard against such possibilities, but that there should be Eidim Vasra, and that she should really be in a position to be Chayav Nisa, and then the only thing that's going to save her is the get, then it's not a common enough thing. There are other Mephoshim who learn that what it means is that as Znus, during that short amount of time between when the get was written and when it was signed, is not that common. Long term, fine, but not necessarily specifically during that one day or something.
But today?
What do you mean today? So in other words,
if you know that if he has in mind the divorce is right until he actually gives the get, it could be taking a while.
No, that's what we're talking about. Ultimately, the get is written on a certain day, and then it's signed shortly after that. And our Mishnah was...
No, she would know that he's writing the get.
Maybe he would, maybe she would, maybe she wouldn't, but whatever. Anyway. Still, even so, she might... The point is, the Shemi Yichapa, so Rabbi Yochanan considers, is still a concern, even if you're talking about a very short amount of time, and Rish Lakish holds that, no, within that short amount of time, there's not much of a concern. Rabbi Yochanan, my time, like Omakir Rish Lakish, what about, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan agree with Rish Lakish's reason that the issue is Paris? The answer is Kasava, because Rabbi Yochanan holds Yesh Labal Peres Ad Shas Nesina. As a matter of fact, the husband does have the right to Peres until he actually gives the get to her. So therefore, so no problem. Even if the get was the date on the get doesn't really help us anything. Doesn't really make a difference. If she needs to go and collect from him to reimburse her for the Peres that he ate, then she's anyway going to need to bring Edim when she received the get, says Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore, so the date doesn't really make a difference one way or the other. And Tosfos gets into a discussion about that maybe get are getting different than other shtaris in that regard. In general, with shtaris, we say that only when they're delivered do you have, only then does the shibud and the shtar take effect. So Tosfos discusses various ins and outs of that, but Tosfos explains differently. Tosfos brings the Ri that said that what it means is the husband actually has Peres until Shas Nesina. So not like Rashi, that in other words, he taka forfeits the Peres as of when the get is written, but she's going to have to, it's going to be up to her to bring Edim when she received the get. But rather, Rabbi Yochanan would hold, the husband actually has Peres until Shas Nesina. So therefore, So what happens, in other words, even if there was no date at all, so all we needed, in other words, if there's no date at all in the get, fine. If she came to Beis Din and said, I want the Peres back, then what they would do is she would go on the date that she receives the get. She'd go to Beis Din, they'd write her out a shtar that says, they'd write her out a receipt that says that she received her get on such and such a day, and therefore that would be a good enough raya. You don't necessarily need to write the date in the get itself for that purpose. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that wouldn't be enough of a reason to actually have to write the date in the get, because you could accomplish that some other way using a different shtar, and therefore the fact that you need a date in a get must be for a different reason. And Rabbi Yochanan says it's Shemi Yechata. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Bishleim alo Rish Lakish." Now I understand, according to Rish Lakish, "Mishum hachi kamachshir Rav Shimon." Rish Lakish's opinion will answer for us very easily why Rav Shimon says that it's kosher in the case where it was written by day and signed the following night. Because we can understand that. Further on, the Gemara is going to explain that Rav Shimon holds that once the husband decides to divorce her, then already he loses payus. So therefore, if he continued to eat Peres after that time, then she is going to have a valid argument to say that that I should be entitled to reimbursement because that was already after you decided to divorce me. So therefore, Reb Shimon says we don't care whether the date in the get is inaccurate, because in any case, it's not the date when the get was written; it's when Nasan Ein of Lagarsha. So that neatly explains Reb Shimon's reason. But according to Reb Yochanan, how are you understanding it? My time with Reb Shimon to Machshir. Why would Reb Shimon say it's kosher? Don't you still have the problem of Shemi Yechabe? And the answer is, Amalach Reb Yochanan, I'll live with Reb Shimon like Amina. So as a matter of fact, fine, Reb Yochanan will say, fine. My reason, you're right, I'm not talking according to Reb Shimon.
Now, how do you have the right to
say One second. Ki Kamina, I'll live with Reb Bonon. What I'm saying is according to the Chachamim. In other words, in effect, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, I say that Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim are arguing on both points. Rabbi Shimon would say the reason is because of Peres. Fine, Rabbi Rish Lakish, you can say that that's a more general reason. Therefore, so the reason is because the problem is Peres. But I say the Chachamim don't hold that Peres is an issue. I say that only Shemi Yechapeh is an issue, and so the machlokes would be, number one, what would be the reason behind the takana, and number two, in fact, when up until what point is the husband entitled to eat Peres, till the get is written or until it's delivered. So therefore, he would say that we have to understand it that way. We have to understand that the machloikas is the machloikas between Rabbi Yochanan and between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim and the Mishnah is based on both of those points. Number one, the reason for the takana, and number two, taka, when does the husband forfeit payrus? So you're asking, how does he have the right? He can't argue with Tanoim, but he can pick one side and he can explain that side according to his shita. So in this case, he can explain that the takana of writing a date and a get is not because of an issue involving payrus, but rather only because of an issue involving basa chose.
But had it not been for the payrus issue, he wouldn't be able to say his reason.
When
payrus issue was not settled amongst the chachamim that they argued on that point too, he wouldn't be able to satisfy us with saying the reason of Shemei Chachamim.
Well, he could. I mean, the chachamim haven't given a reason at all. Neither the chachamim nor the Shimon give a reason for their opinions in the Mishnah. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is justified in coming up with a reason, and he's saying that the reason that you, the Shlokish, are saying would work only according to the Shimon, I hold it wouldn't work according to the chachamim.
It's about clapping from the
not the thing. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan would say that the whole matter of Paris is so Rabbi Shimon would say the reason is not Shami Yechapa, it's only because of Paris, and therefore and Rabbi Shimon, as the Gemara is going to go on to say in a minute, is that Rabbi Shimon holds that the husband forfeits Paris as soon as he writes the get. So therefore, it doesn't really matter when it was signed. So Rabbi Yochanan would say that reason would work according to Rabbi Shimon. That would explain why Rabbi Shimon says it's kosher. It wouldn't work according to the Chachamim, and according to the Chachamim, we need a different reason. And that reason would be Shami Yechapa.
But he does argue also about that.
So the Chachamim would hold that the Chum disagree with Reb Shimon about when the husband forfeits the Paris, but Reb Shimon says, Reb Yochanan says that wouldn't be reason enough for us to passel a get without a date, just because of that, there must be a different reason. So the Gemara continues, v'shleimel Reb Yochanan haynu de'ikka bein Reb Shimon l'rabbanan. Well then, according to Reb Yochanan, we understand that would be the machlokas. Reb Shimon is saying that the get is kosher because, again, the husband loses the right to her peiros once he decides to divorce her, as Reb Yochanan just said, yesh labal peiros, or we said before, that he would say that Reb Shimon would hold that kibin shenosin ein of the garisha as soon as he decides to divorce her, then already he forfeits peiros, and the chachamim would disagree with that and say that he has the right to peiros further along as well. Ella l'Reb Shlokish my ikka bein Reb Shimon l'rabbanan. But according to Reb Shlokish, what is the actual according to Reb Shlokish? If Reb Shlokish holds that the reason is because of peiros, then why is there a difference between Reb Shimon and the chachamim? If Reb Shimon is saying that it's fine because the husband can't sell Paris because already he forfeited them once he decided to divorce her, why would the Chachamim be saying what? Then what are the Chachamim saying differently that Reb Shlokish would say that would be a reason for them to say it's possible? And the answer is Paris Meshas Ksiva Vanshas Chasima Ikabinayu. That would be the difference. When you have Paris that he ate or that he sold or whatever, from when he wrote the get until when the get was signed, that would be the naftamina. So the Chachamim would say they don't hold of the concept that kibin shenosin ain of the garisha, that as soon as he decides to divorce her, he loses the peiros. Therefore, they say, in fact, they say he's allowed to eat the peiros until the get is signed. So therefore, if the get was written on one day and signed on a different day, then you're going to have this problem as far as peiros, that he's going to. So now you have the get was written on Monday and signed on Tuesday. So now you're going to have then the peiros that he ate
one day.
And he ate during that one day on Monday. She's going to claim he had no right to them, and she's going to try to take away from Lekuchos in order to satisfy that debt. And she can't do that. So therefore, the same way as with other predated shtaris, we're going to say it's possible. Whereas Reb Shimon would say anyway, once the get is written, then he forfeits the payrus anyhow. So therefore, in fact, if he ate payrus on Monday, then Taka he doesn't have the right to them, and she does have the right to collect them. So therefore, he says there's no problem if the get is. Therefore, there's no problem if the get is predated.
Those when it's written
from them, because they say because Reb Shimon would say that it goes according to when it's written, right? Okay, so the Gemara asks, in that case, then haven't we found that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish actually hold the other way around? So you're telling me now that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the husband has the right to the according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no real difference between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon as far as how long you have the Peiros. He holds Yesh Labal Peiros on Shas Nesina until the get is delivered. And Rish Lakish is saying that you forfeits it at some earlier time, but we find them saying the other way around. From what point on do we say that the wife is able to collect from third parties to pay for Peiros that the husband took? Rabbi Yochanan says from when the get was written, and Rish Lakish says from when it was given. So that's exactly the opposite as what we just said, because we just said that Rabbi Yochanan says he has until Nesina to have those Peiros, and Rish Lakish is saying only till Ksiva. So at least according to the Chachamim. And the answer is Epoch. You have to flip around the opinions. So how do you know which one to flip around? Tosfos says that it means that we're flipping around the one about the payers. We're leaving intact the one about the reasons behind the date and the get, Shemi Yechapa versus payers. We're leaving that intact, but we're flipping around and we're saying Rish Lakish would be the one to say that she has the right to collect, to be reimbursed for the payers up until the time of Ksiva, and Rish Lakish would hold, or Rish Lakish would say until the time of Ksiva, or from the time of Ksiva and onward, and Rabbi Yochanan would be saying Ad Shas Chasima, and therefore that comes out consistent with what they're saying over here. There are Rishonim who discuss that back and forth. Is it that way, or maybe do we flip around the opinions of Shemi Yechapa versus Peiros? So they bring in this connection of Yerushalmi that also makes it clear, that Rabbi Yochanan holds Shemi Yechapa and Rish Lakish holds Peiros, so therefore that means there's less of a possibility to switch it around. It must be that if we're going to switch anything around, it has to be the one about Ksiva versus Nesina. What?
I have a question, just to summarize.
Yeah.
If Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish argue about these two reasons of Shemi Yechapa, it's loosely shchicha according to Rish Lakish saying
right.
Rabbi Yochanan's comment.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yochanan would say to Rabbi Rish Lakish, hey, Mishum Peiros,
right.
It's Ad Shas Nesina, therefore there's not much time between the Ksiva and the Nesina, as I get, I suppose.
Well, there may be, there may not be.
Therefore, is that not the right rational?
Well, no, I mean, that's...
What's the rational to say Rish Lakish doesn't say like Rabbi Yochanan because who's like shchicha in so much time, such a small span.
No, but one second. That point about it not so much time, that was only according to one explanation. The Shara Melech, explaining the Rambam, understands it that way. We just said before, Tosfos says, Tosfos understood the point of Znus l'shchicha to be differently. We're not talking about short term, long term. We're talking about Znus with Eidim Basra is not so common. Yeah.
And what is Rabbi Yochanan? I didn't get the other side of it. Okay. Why does Rabbi Yochanan not respond to Rish Lakish that Peiros l'shchicha or...
What do you mean Peiros l'shchicha every day? What do you mean Peiros l'shchicha every day? Yeah, Peiros. If you're talking about a field, first of all, if you're talking about a field, then every day things are becoming ripe in it. But besides that, keep in mind, Peiros can be from any kind of things. Peiros can be from an Eved. You have the right to the Eved's work. Peiros can be from a hotel where you rent out rooms to people. So every single day you'll have Peiros. So yeah, there can be a real difference between one day and the next. So Rabbi Yochanan would say Peiros is all fine and good, but that wouldn't be a reason to be arguing. That wouldn't be a reason for Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. That might explain Rabbi Shimon's reason. It wouldn't explain the Chachamim's reason, because in any case, they would say that you have until Shas Nesina, until the get is delivered, he's entitled to Peiros. Therefore, it doesn't matter whether the get, therefore, on the face of it, it shouldn't matter whether the get was written one day and signed the next day. It wouldn't matter. He still has the right to Peiros until Shas Nesina anyhow. If she comes with a written get that has a certain date on it and says, wait, I was divorced as of this day, I'm entitled to those Peiros, we're going to tell her, where's your Eidin Nesina? Or as Tosfos is saying, we don't even need maybe Eidin Nesina at all. We'll write you a separate shtar, not the get itself, that says what day you received the get. Yeah.
So
So when the Gemara just says this, does that mean that the guy who the printer made a mistake?
No, it doesn't mean the printer made a mistake. It means the Chachamim, when they were telling over in the Beis Medrash, who said what? It means that somebody mixed it up. A lot, you do find a lot of times in the Gemara, you have it even more so in the Yerushalmi than in the Bavli, where it'll say that two Chachamim said, one said this and one said this. And many times we'll have in the Gemara where we're going to try to prove to Stayim, can we prove which one said what? But not always are we even able to do that. And again, in the Yerushalmi, and remember, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish both lived in Eretz Yisrael, that's even less common. So it may be, you may have this kind of thing. They said in the Beis Medrash, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, one said this, and therefore they got confused over which one said what. And now the Gemara is clarifying for us, in order to make it work, then you need to say that the assumption of which one said what is incorrect, and in fact, it was the other way around. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Omalei Abaye L'Rav Yosef. Now, in that case, so we're saying that let's look at a Mishnah later on in the Masechta, which again brings up this matter of a date. In fact, that's really where it actually says in so many words in the Mishnah that a get requires a date. Before, in our Mishnah, we just had that the get can't be predated, but there wasn't necessarily the implication that there needs to be a date at all. Later on, towards the end of the Masechta, we have where it clearly says it needs a date. So one second. So the Mishnah says, Shloisha Gittin Psulim, there are three kinds of get that are possible midrabanan, and we wouldn't allow her to marry with them. The Imnisis of Lad Kosher, but if she did, then since they're possible only midrabanan, then the child that she has would be kosher, because the midaraisa, she was divorced. And then the Mishnah lists three cases. One of them is where there's no date on the get. So we have to ask if a get is kosher without a date on it, maha ilu chachamim betakanasan, then what are the chachamim accomplished with their takana? We said you have to write a date in the get. What we're saying, but yevet the get is kosher even with no date. So isn't there a problem that after all he might do that? So what are you saying, especially according to the Yechman, Yechap al basa choisei? So what's going to happen? So he'll write a get without a date. Daraisa will be kosher. That'll be enough to save her from Mrs. Bastin. And meanwhile, she shouldn't marry with it, but if he doesn't care about that, if his whole purpose of writing the get is that after she was mizana, he wants to cover up for her, then he'll write a get without a date, and it'll be kosher daraisa, and that'll save her from misa. So what did the chachamim accomplish by putting by making you put a date on a get in the first place? So Rabbi Yosef answers, Ahanu delachtchila lo tinase. Well, at least the Chachamim have accomplished that lachtchila, a get without a date, she should not remarry with it. So therefore, in other words, since lachtchila you're not supposed to get married with that. So if the husband decides to write such a get, in order to cover up for basa choisei, or in order to sell the peiros, the sofer adayonim to begin with are not going to write such a get for him. If he comes to the sofer adayonim and says, "I want to divorce my wife, but I want you to write the get without a date," they're going to realize there's funny stuff going over you, and they're not going to write it. The edim are not going to sign on such a thing. So yes, in theory, if such a get were to be written, then it could work just to save her from nisa. But practically speaking, because the chachamim made that takana, such a get is not going to be written. So Abaye asks, what about if he has the get written with the date, but then Gaziel is Mandi day? What if he cuts off the line of the get that has the date on it? The Yavani Allah, and then he gave the get to her. Then what are you going to say? So then he can play games over here.
Isn't the get written in a way that we can do that?
No, not necessarily.
The bottom line has to be
no, the bottom line summarizes what it said in the get before, but it doesn't have the date in it. The date is at the top of the get. But in principle, you could cut off that line and then give her the get. If we're saying, if the Mishnah is telling us at the end of the Masechta that b'dieved, such a get is kosher, and at least it's a daraisa, it's considered that she's divorced, wouldn't he be able to do that? So Rabbi Yosef says, we're really not concerned about a case where a person tries to do trickery like that. People, in other words, even cheaters try to do their cheating in a way where it won't be so obvious. Where you have where the top line of get is cut off, it's clear that he's trying to do something funny over here. And therefore, so even cheaters are generally not going to do that. What? There's also milsa davidilu gluyilim shakri inchi and other such things. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So what about, a buyer continues asking, what about kosu bo shavua? What about if you don't have an exact date in the get? What if you only have that it was written during a certain Shemitah cycle? So you have the years are divided into seven of Shemitah cycles and then into, and then within a yovel. So what if he wrote that this get was written, what if he wrote that this get was written during the third Shemitah of the yovel cycle? And no more specific than that. Or Shana, or he mentions only the year. Chodesh, or only the month. Or Shabbos, only the week. He says like the first week of the month.
Do we know it's the Yovel cycle word?
Right now we don't. Well, the Rambam gives two different opinions. One is that we do know, and according to the Chachamim, and according to the Rambam's calculation, the last Yovel from in our times would have been Tovshin Samachay, so we'd now be in the 18th year of the next Yovel cycle. According to the second opinion that Amram says, when the Bismikdash is destroyed, there are no Yovels at all. We don't count Yovels at all, and therefore what year of the Yovel we're in is irrelevant. So back then, when they had Shemitahs and Yovels, then you can in the times of the Bismikdash, yeah. So
Shavu over here
definitely means. Shavu over here means, yeah, because since we're saying it before Shabbos or before Shana or Chodesh or Shabbos, we're going downward in progression. So first we're talking about a whole 7 year cycle, then a whole year. So he just wrote the get Tovshin Pei Gimel, or he just wrote Sivan Tovshin Pei Gimel, or he just wrote the first week of Sivan Tovshin Pei Gimel, or whatever. What would be the din? Are such get in kosher? Amalei kosher. So Rabbi Yosef tells him, yes, such a get is kosher, and such a get is kosher. And in fact, Rashi says even Lachtchila. On the other hand, the Kesef Mishnah explains the Rambam to say that L'chatchila, you could use it once it was written, but you shouldn't write it like that, L'chatchila. And in fact, there is a good deal of a lot of Hilchas Gittin have to do with the details of writing, there are certain details about writing the date. If L'chatchila, you could, for example, there's an interesting discussion, how do you write the name Iyar, the name of the month Iyar in a get? Do you write it with one yud or two yudin? And in fact, the post can say, where possible, maybe a get shouldn't be written in year at all because of that suffix. If you're going to say l'chatchila, you could just write the year without the month, then you wouldn't have the problem. Just write Tovshin Pei Gimel and have done with it. So the Gemara asks, in that case, Maha ilu chachamim, betakonosan. Well, if you're telling me that a get can be so imprecisely dated, then what are you accomplishing with it? After all, then you still have the problem of peiros. So what if the guy says it was during the third Shemitah cycle of the Yovel. So how does that help? As far as peiros, you still have many years worth of peiros that he could be falsely claiming, or that she could be falsely claiming. You still have many years worth of znus that could be, And the answer is ahan l'shavur de kameh or l'shavur de basre. Fine, but at least it helps that if she was mizana during the previous shmita in that yovel cycle, then yes, she'll be chayv miso l'shavur de basre. And as far as the peiros, it helps for the 7 year cycle after that. So yes.
How many years back can you come with an old witness?
Doesn't matter. There's no statute of limitations. You could come years later and say yeah. Okay, and the Gemara says, after all, one second, De'ilai temahochi, after all, if you're not going to say that, yoyma gufe, then you have to consider on the day itself that the get was written, miyad inan imit safra imipanya, how would we know whether the get was written in the morning or at the end of the day? Ela l'yoyma de kameh or l'yoyma de basre, but having a date on the get excludes the day before it and the day after it. Hochanami, ahana, the shavur de kameh or the shavur de basre, the same way over here, it helps at least as far as the previous Shemitah and the following Shemitah. Again, we're not going to go so far as to write hours in the get because they don't do that in places outside Yerushalayim, and therefore that's how it'll be. Before we leave, by the way, I forgot to mention one other interesting thing in that Agadta before about Rabbi Babachana and the Chavra and whatever. The Maharam Shif says that, so he's saying that it would be a greater advantage to live under Edom than under Persia. He says, because one advantage of Edom, as harsh as they are to the Jewish people, after all, Yaakov gave him the bracha. He says, v'hoya kasher torid, when you have reason to complain against the Jews because they're not learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs, then you'll be able to dominate them, implying as long as Jews are learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs, then Esav has no power. Us, whereas by the Persians, you have no such thing. So now, especially that he's harassing Tamid Chachamim and taking away the lamp from them while they're sitting there and learning Torah, then Rav Avachana says, under those circumstances, we'd be better off under Esav, because if we were under Esav and learning Torah, they wouldn't have the ability to do anything to us.
Madame Schiff
says that, yeah.